So he challenged me with a text this morning. He said, "So what are you preaching on this morning?" And I forget what I said. I said, "I found something." He said, "Did you find anything to preach?" I said, "Yeah, I found something." He said, "You're going to preach on praise. That's a good idea." And I said, "Psalm 149. So find your place. Psalm 149. And I'm going to do something I normally don't do. I'm going to be brief this morning. That's the intent. You know, I'm going to try. I hope I'll be successful. I'll be brief more than some fellers. It was always ironic to see, now the name just flew right by me. You go to all these conferences and these preachers preach for an hour, hour and a half, and then you got up and, I want to say Henderson, A.B. Henderson, 20 minutes. Everybody else preaching for an hour, hour and a half, 20 minutes, that's all he did. And everybody knew it. I'm going to be somewhere in between. The last five chapters, or the last five psalms of the book of Psalms. Now, it is a praise book. It is a book of honoring the Lord. It is a book of worship. It is a book of hymns for the nation of Israel. So many good things that you can draw from it. So many convicting things that you can draw from the book of Psalms. And it's full of what we're talking about this morning. But the last five Psalms have the unique distinction of beginning and ending with the same phrase. Psalm 146 through Psalm 150 begins and ends with the same phrase. Praise ye the Lord. And some 43 times in these five verses will you find the word or a form of the word praise. Now, I am a biblical literalist. I stick with one Bible, not planning on changing. I don't care what everybody else does. Staying with one Bible and accepting it literally. Believing it literally from cover to cover. I didn't say understanding it. I ain't got to the point. I've only been saved for 43 years. So I'm not yet at the point where I understand it all, but I believe it all, literally. And when God tells us something, you know, when that financial advisor E.F. Hutton used to speak on television? You know, when E.F. Hutton speaks, and then the whole conversation stops. Everywhere you go, everybody stopped because they all wanted to listen. Because what E.F. Hutton said had to have been important. Well, when God says something, it is important. And then when I find where God repeats something, I realize He's talking to human beings like me. Because human beings like me rarely get it the first time. You know, I didn't get saved first time I heard the gospel. Second, third, fourth. And oftentimes, I have to read something through in the scriptures multiple times before finally the light comes on. And I'll say, oh, that's what God's trying to say. Oh. And that's why He repeats it, because He wants us to understand that it's important. And in just five of these 150 Psalms, the word praise is used 43 different times. In Psalm 150, it's 13 just in that one. I assume it's really important to praise God. So we're at Psalm 149. Let me read that as you follow along. Praise ye the Lord. Remember, I said that's how the Psalms, those last five, begin and end. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. Now, stop right there. I'm going to reference that in a little bit. Let them sing praises unto Him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Lot in there. We're just going to highlight a few things about the subject of praising the Lord. Let's pray and make a few observations. Father, we have striven, if that's the correct word, to praise you this morning in our song, in our worship of song. We have sung the little chorus that we sang as children. We sang the hymn, the great hymn, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. So we have begun and attempted to do so, that which these Psalms emphasize. Lord, help me this morning. I just want to challenge God's people. Just challenge us. We have been challenged this week with the revival messages and Brother Clyde touched on that in his prayer and brought to remembrance the sermons that we heard. And Lord, I just want to follow up on that with praise. And I pray that we'll all receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise. Look at verse 1 of chapter 147, Psalm 147, I keep saying chapter. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. It's proper, it's appropriate, it's necessary, it's wonderful, it's a blessing to praise the Lord, to give honor to whom honor is due, to adore the one who should be adored, to worship the one who is worthy indeed of worship. We praise the Lord. We recognize him. We reverence him, first of all, because of who he is. Praise ye the Lord, Jehovah God. Now, I understand these Psalms were written by Jews to Jews. Some of the content and time framing of these particular Psalms would have direct association to the nation of Israel and to the Jews. But folks, don't ever discard the Old Testament just because you're Gentile. Take the whole Bible and draw from it that which you can use in the service of God. And Jew and Gentile should praise the Lord because of who he is. He's God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's Elohim. I know a couple of years ago, I did a series on the names of God. And I'm not going to do that again this morning, but there are compound names. There are names found throughout the Bible to describe who God is. When Jesus gave the pattern of prayer in the gospel accounts, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. Give me the last phrase. Hallowed be thy name. And so the names of God for who he is, he's Jehovah. He's the self-existent one. He's the I am. And as we already read in John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. And in the bush that burned with fire and was not consumed, God spoke to Moses and said, I am that I am, the Holy One of God. And so for no more than because he is Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and all the rest of the names, El Shaddai, El Elyon, El Roi, and all those names, in light of that, we praise him for who he is. He's God. Don't forget who he is. Our culture has forgotten who God is. They think he's some old doddering, senile old man sitting up in heaven that can't stay awake with a long white beard and long flowing white hair. By the way, I need a haircut. My barber's coming back this week. I have determined I ain't paying these guys however much they demand for a haircut. And I'm waiting for my wife to return because she has been my barber for years. And I think of all the money that I've saved and what a joy that is. But in the meantime, I'll just wear a dog tag. I asked one of the men of the church years ago, I think it was before I got saved, and you would have had to have seen me, hair down to my shoulders and beard, and I thought I really looked sharp. And I said, "Hey, you think I need a haircut?" He said, "No, just a set of dog tags." Took the wind right out of my... But I think sometimes I look at the white-haired guy in the mirror or the white-haired fat guy in the picture, and then I realize it's me. But there, our culture has forgotten who God is. They think He's some old man who doesn't see anything that's going on in the world, who's ignoring all the wickedness and sinfulness, and He's just up there happy and asleep and loving everything and everybody. Now, the fact of the matter is, He does love everybody. He's already proved it on Calvary. He's already proved it by sending His only begotten Son. He doesn't have to prove anything else anymore. He's already done so. But He doesn't love everything. Believe that. But we praise Him for who He is. Remember that He's God. He's holy. He's righteous. He is love. And He's all the rest of the characteristics. He's eternal. But who He is, and then praise Him for what He's done. So what's He done? Well, if you're saved, He saved you. He provided the plan of salvation. He sacrificed His only begotten Son so you could have eternal life. So that you go to heaven one day instead of going to hell. So you could spend forever on streets of gold, surrounded by walls of jasper and gates of pearl, in the presence of a holy God, in the presence with all of other God's people, where there's no sin, where there's no sorrow, where there's no night. I mean, heaven's going to be a wonderful place where there's no runny nose. And I'm not being facetious. I'm not lessening the thing. I'm tired of this. You say, if that's all I had to deal with, yeah, but it's a nuisance when I'm standing up here in front of people and my nose is running and I can't do anything about it. That's got nothing to do with the sermon. But what He's done, He created the heavens and the earth. He flung the stars out into space. By the way, look at verse 4 of Psalm 147. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Praise Him for what He's done. Man can't number them. God's got them numbered. And He's got them named. He knows where they are. We keep digging further and further into space, and God's already there. The heathen go out there and say, "I can't find God anywhere." Then you've got your eyes closed, dummy. Open your eyes at night when you're away from the city lights, and you can see God from horizon to horizon. Open your eyes at daybreak. And most of you were probably up at dark this morning because of the wonderful turn of the clock. And if you poked your head outside, you look toward the east, you can see the sun come up. Tonight at 8:30 or so, you'll see the sun go down. All you people that wanted longer days, you got it. But look from horizon to horizon and you'll see God. Paints a new picture every day. What He's done. And I mean, we could park here anyway. I mentioned salvation, but you know, what else has He done? Food to eat, clothes to wear, roof over your head, living in still the greatest country of the world. I don't like the warts and the faults. I don't like what's going on in America. Still the greatest country in the world. It's why everybody's trying to get here. Because it's better than any other country on the planet. And God allowed us to live here. Be American citizens. He could have planted us down in the jungles of South America somewhere, and we could have grown up barefooted, not knowing anything, living in a thatched hut and a dirt floor, eating ungodly things. But he allowed us to live here. And in most of our cases, he's given us far more than what we ever deserved. What he's done, praise him for what he's done. Praise him for what he's doing. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If God created the heaven and earth in 6 days, I can't imagine what heaven's going to be like after about 2,000 years of preparation. Gotta be good. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Jesus interceding on my behalf. That's a full-time job. You say, you're joking. No, I'm not. I keep him busy all the time because of my weaknesses and my frailties. And he's all the time having to bring me before the Father and say, Father, I died for him. My blood was shed for him. It's covered him. You just look through my blood and look through his blood. But that's what he's doing now. He's preparing a place. He's preparing his return because that's what he's going to do. Praise him for what he will do. He's coming again. Marvelous message we bring. Glorious carol we sing. Wonderful word of the King. Jesus is coming again. That's the blessed hope. That's what I'm looking forward to. Apart from lost people who are still lost that have heard the gospel, I wish he'd come today. It'd be wonderful. Just go home today. Wouldn't have to deal with a stupid campaign all year. I wouldn't have to work the election office and put up with all the foolishness of this campaign and the stupidity of everything that's going on. I'd be in heaven. And if you're saved, you would be too. And that's a good thing. And that's what he will do. And in the meantime, we're still here. So we're still praying and we're still working. And there's still some people yet to be saved. So that's what he will do. So praise him for all of this. But that's not the end of the sermon. It talks about, in the first three verses, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Congregation of saints. Verse 9 says, this honor have all his saints. Now I know it's a Jewish psalm written to Jews, but can we not realize an application to the congregation of saints? God's people. Then he says specifically, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Of course, the Jews. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and harp. Praise him in worship. Praise him in worship. Now we've coined a new phrase in our churches in this last generation. I don't like to use it because of what's associated with. But we've coined the phrase praise and worship. We have a praise and worship team. We have a praise and worship this and a praise and worship that. I grew up with a praise and worship team being the song leader and the pianist and the organist. That was your praise and worship team. I'm perfectly content with that. I don't need to see the Wiggle Sisters up here dancing in front of me, trying to lead me in some song I don't understand, in order to worship God. And I love singing the old hymns out of the book. I mean, it's all fine with me. We'll never exhaust these. I don't mind new hymns coming along, but don't come up to me and say that I've got to force God or I've got to convince God to do anything, because that's what half of those praise courses do, trying to convince God that we love him. If you love him, he already knows. But anyway, praise him in worship, the congregation of saints. It's what we do when we sing. You say, well, I can't sing. Don't matter. What's the expression if you can't sing? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So it works. So if I can't sing, just make a noise, a holy squawk. coming from the heart, it is worship. It is honoring to the Lord. And so praise Him in worship. And then it says in verse 3, and believe me, I dallied with this one and dallied with this one. I said, I wanted to ignore it and just go on by it, but I said, I'm going to say something anyway, because that's the way I am. This has nothing to do with modern dance. Zero. Nothing. You say, well, it's in the Bible. Yes, it is. And I know that David danced before the Lord. I know he leaped and danced before the Lord. That's got nothing to do with keeping a beat to a certain type of music and wiggling in a sensual fashion, or being glued to someone of the opposite sex who ain't your spouse. You say, you're getting kind of personal. I need to, because Christians have lost this. There are dance teams in churches today. Don't go there. Don't go there. And I'm going to try not to go too far. But I was scrolling through Facebook the other day and pulled up an old Rod Parsley reel. And he had the microphone in his hand and put it in the face of a man and said something about speaking in a heavenly language. And that guy spouted off something that nobody understood. And at that point, Rod started running laps around the platform. Just running laps. He was having a time. The same guy who spoke in that gibberish started jumping up and down. He looked like he was having a convulsion, but he was jumping up and down. The camera panned, and in front of that platform was probably 20 or 25 people, and they were all doing the same thing. They were all gyrating, wiggling. I look back at the guy, he falls on the floor. Then he gets back up. And I thought to myself, self? I used to see this in the old westerns when the Indians would gather around the fire just before they killed somebody. And they would wave their spears and bows and gyrate around, shouting at the top of their lungs. And none of you are old enough to remember Johnny Weissmuller. But he was Tarzan. He was Tarzan. And I remember the natives in the jungles of Africa, how they would dance around before they burnt their victim at the stake or boiled him in a pot and ate him. And I remember seeing that on television and then looking at this group in a so-called church and they're doing the same thing that they're doing. And here's how I responded. And I tried to avoid this. Let them praise His name in the dance. Dr. Frank Garlock said that was similar to marching, as if you marched in step to the accompaniment. If you've ever gone to a parade, I think they had one yesterday, didn't they have Founders Day? And I didn't go, but when the band plays and all the band is marching in step, if there's one guy not, bless his heart. And if you've been in the military and had to do drills, and bless his heart if somebody's out of step. But they are marching in step in time. Dr. Frank Garlock said that would be the equivalent of dancing in the Old Testament. Or David celebrating, jumping and saying, praise the Lord, we're moving the Ark of the Covenant. Nothing like what you see in the 21st or the 20th century. Nothing like that. And I was watching that reel for a couple of minutes. And the first thing that came to my mind, I'm going to get this off my chest or bust. First thing that came to my mind was a smile. I thought, how ridiculous this is. God ain't nowhere near this. And that's how I felt. A smile came to my face as I watched all these people acting ridiculous. The next reaction I got was sort of gritting my teeth. I said, this ain't right. Now some of you may, it's where I stand, I'm convicted, you ain't changing my mind. It ain't right. I was gritting my teeth, getting mad. I said, how misleading is this? And then the third emotion hit. And that was, I was getting ready to weep. Why? Because in amongst that huge crowd, all 20 or 30 people, it's like moving a couple of rows and having everybody in here dancing up. Now, I can imagine you doing that. Yeah. But that's what they were doing. Up and down, whooping and hollering like holy calisthenics. And I thought, in that great crowd that's still out in the audience, of course, they're all standing. I said, I wonder if a teenage girl walked in who just found out she's pregnant and she's not married. And she walked into the door of a church because she needed something. And she saw that. I thought, suppose a man walked in whose wife just left him after years of marriage. I could have said the same thing. A woman whose husband. And left them with the children. And they don't know what to do. And they walked into church because they need something. And they see all this. Or suppose a senior citizen walks in who's just lost their spouse of 50 years. And they're broken. And they need something. And they walked in and saw that. Let me tell you something as clearly as I can. That ain't going to help nobody. Amen. That kind of stuff in church is not going to help anybody. So when it says, let them praise His name in the dance, it means nothing like we have applied it to in our culture today. If you want to say, that applies to the Jews only, all right, leave it there. But those folks that came into church seeking, you know what they need? They don't need to see a preacher running circles around the platform hollering and screaming. Now, I holler and scream. That's to wake you up. That's to make sure my heart's still beating. That's so I stay awake. Because there's an emphasis. But not to see this guy running around like he's got St. Vitus, whatever it used to be called. Or he just stepped into a den of fire ants. You say, you shouldn't make fun. It looks funny. They don't need to see that. They don't need to see 20 or 30 people falling all over themselves, falling on the floor, getting up and running in place. And doing. You know what they need? They need Jesus. You say, well, they'll get it at some point. Well, they ain't going to get it at that point. And I for one, how is that going to prepare me to find Jesus? See, when we sing, it's to prepare us for the Word of God. It's to prepare us for the message. It's to prepare us to praise God. It's so that we might praise Him. So when it says dance, it's nothing. Let me clarify with this. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Secondly, and these all came from the same book, let all things be done decently and in order. That's in the Bible. And then here's another one out of the same book. God is not the author of confusion. And you remember Paul talking about speaking in tongues, and he said one unlearned comes in and they're all speaking with tongues, and will they not think that you're mad? There's crazy people in here. And if somebody walks into that kind of assembly and needs what the world's not giving them, I can't go any further. What the world's not giving them, they need something that the bottom of a bottle's not giving them, that the bottom of a syringe is not giving them, that the bottle of a medication's not giving them, that the psychiatrist can't help, the psychologist can't help, the politician can't help, the educator can't help, the scientist can't help, the teacher can't help, but only God can help. That's what they need. And when they come to the house of God, hopefully they find it there. Not some foolishness. Worship. Praise Him in worship. But look at this. I can hurry up and finish now. Let the saints, verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. That don't make sense, does it? Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Not only praise the Lord in worship, praise Him in weariness. Praise Him in weariness. You know when things ain't going well? You know when you get tired? All of us been to all these places. You know when your heart's broke? Bank account's broke? Spirit's broke? Everything's broke. Refrigerator, car. So it's hard to praise God there. Yeah. Then you go to bed and the problems hadn't gone away. You close your eyes and the problem still ain't gone away, and your eyes snap back open and you're confronted with the reality of what life has given you. Sing aloud upon their beds. Praise the Lord with the congregation. Praise the Lord in your relaxation, even in your weariness. You know, we don't just praise God when everything goes well. Now, we should praise God when everything goes well. If God gave you a raise, God gave you a tax rebate, refund, or whatever, God gave you an inheritance, God gave you this, He gave you a good health report. Donna got a good health report. She went to see the cardiologist, doesn't need a catheterization. So praise the Lord for that. So, you know, that's a good report. We're happy about that. Praise God for that. But what if, and I don't want to pinpoint her, but what if the doctor had come back and said, it's not your heart, it's this, and there ain't nothing we can do. We've all been there. Well, I'm going to praise the Lord because it's, I don't need any more doctor care. Ha, what a joke. You will never not need doctor care. It's what I've said for 40 years of ministry. Nobody gets well. That's my personal opinion. I won't charge you for it. The reason being, because I'm in the hamster wheel now. I'm running this circle and I'm never going to get out of it. Go back and see the doctor. 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 But I'm well. Go back and see the doctor. Go back and see the doctor. But suppose I wasn't well. Brother Pat has an interesting observation he'll bring to my attention every once in a while. He said, you know, you could be in a nursing home eating your food through a straw. After my stroke that I had 6 years ago, I could be confined to a hospital bed or a wheelchair to a feeding machine. I don't want to be tied to that. What if it's that? What if it's the worst you could imagine? Praise Him anyway, even in your weariness. It's only 11 o'clock. Some of you got that. And then verse 6 jumped out of me years and years ago. And underneath the column I wrote some things. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Are you kidding me? Yeah, here's what I wrote. Have a song and a sword. Worship with warfare. Praise with punishment. Joy with judgment. Blessing and battling. Rejoicing and retribution. Blessing and binding. A voice and vengeance. Exaltation with execution. Praise Him in warfare, in the confrontation that you're in. We're in a battle. That's why Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There is a satanic enemy, opposer, adversary, and his army that we're dealing with on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, and we need to be prepared for the battles that we face. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. So worship even in warfare, when there's confrontation. Execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishments upon the people, bind their kings and their nobles with fetters. Execute judgment upon them, execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all the saints, praise ye the Lord. That doesn't mean we're going to go out and kill everybody who doesn't agree with us. I ain't found anybody that agrees with me. 100%. I don't even agree with me 100%. But it means there are battles and there are enemies. And we don't go out in the Middle East and kill all the Muslims. We don't go to China and kill all the communists over there. We don't go over to India and kill all the Hindus and everything. We don't agree with them, but we don't go out and kill them. But there are enemies that are facing us, and we need to be prepared to do battle. That's why we put on the whole armor of God. And by the way, a two-edged sword in their hand. What does the New Testament say? For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And what does Paul say when he tells you to put on the whole armor of God and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? We have been prepared to worship. Praise the Lord in worship. Praise the Lord in weariness. Praise the Lord in warfare. Regardless, praise Him in congregation. Praise Him in celebration. Praise Him in relaxation. Praise Him in confrontation. Why? Because of who He is. Because of what He's done, because of what He's doing, because of what He will do. There is no reason not to praise the Lord. Verse 6, Psalm 150. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us the time to share. Lord, I pray that we've been reminded once again. If nothing else, we'll turn in this book of Psalms to these last five Psalms and read them and be admonished over 40 times to praise, and the one to whom we praise. Praise ye the Lord. May we do that in our walk, in our worship, even in our weariness and in our warfare. May we praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. If you would...